When you receive a personal letter from a longtime friend, sometimes the most emotional and heartfelt expressions come at the very end. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from the final verses in Paul's letter to his friends in Philippi. If you missed Friday's program, we'll start with a few minutes of recap, starting at verse 19 in Philippians chapter 4. Paul, remember, was in prison when he wrote this tutorial on joy. This is the final day in Chuck's 14-part Laugh Again series. He titled this closing message, A Joyful, Grace-Filled Goodbye.
Turn with me to the closing five verses, and let's see how the man says goodbye. After writing a letter this significant, saying goodbye couldn't be that easy, but it seems to flow from the pen of the apostle. I never cease to be amazed at his style as a writer. Let me start with verse 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Signed, Paul. What an ending to a magnificent letter. If I read these words correctly, I find four terms that, to me, wrap up his thoughts. First is the word glory. God will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. Now to God and to our God and Father be the glory forever. Glory. What in the world does that mean? It could mean, and everything depends on context, it could mean brightness and splendor and radiance, as in the Old Testament when the glory of God rested in the holiest of all. The light was, the room was filled with the light of God, and they were in the presence of the Shekinah glory, that which emanates from his presence, as a star differs from a planet in that it emanates light. God is the giver of all light, and that's the word glory. It also accompanies greatness. We speak of the glory of a king, or the glory that surrounds the throne of those in authority. It could mean what we might call credit. As we say, that person deserves the glory for this. And I think in this context, that's what he has in mind, certainly in verse 20. To our God and Father be the glory. Meaning what? Now listen. In whatever circumstance you find yourself, may it bring glory to God. In your demotion or promotion, may God get the credit, the significance. In your gain or in your loss, in your health or in your illness, in your triumphs or in your tragedies, may you remember it isn't happiness that is your goal, it is God's glory. That is one of the greatest thoughts God ever gave me in this past decade, that God's goal for us is not to be happy. It is to glorify him. He says here, to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. To him be all the praise. When that becomes one's ultimate pursuit, major changes occur inside of us. Glory. As he says goodbye, he says, remember, he gets the glory. The second word is greeting. In fact, he uses it several times. Greet every saint. So, he's telling the people in Philippi, tell the Christian friends there that I know, I said hello. Give them my greeting. And then he says, the brethren who are with me greet you. So, he in Rome, where he's writing this letter, sends a greeting from his Christian brothers and sisters, some of whom have come to visit him in his house arrest. He sends them, the people of Philippi, the greeting of his friends in Rome who know the Lord, the people who are Christians. In fact, he adds, all the saints greet you. All of those who have been born into God's family, those I've met, those I haven't met, they are all about us. They send their greeting. And then he adds that fascinating statement, especially those of Caesar's household. The best scholarship suggests that this is a reference with that has an incredibly large body of people in mind across the country of Italy, as well as in the provinces around it. Slaves and free people alike. Members of the imperial guard that waited on Caesar and did his special work. The executives, the administrators, secretaries, and courtiers in and about the throne room of the Caesar. The point I'm making is that in the very citadel of atheism, Christ had invaded. Isn't that a great thought? As he concludes this great letter to the Philippians, he gives them his greetings. And then he turns to, in my humble opinion, his favorite of all the doctrines, verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Track the thought with me, will you? The law came by Moses. The tablets were handed to the people, written by the finger of God, the laws which announced perfect righteousness, holiness, and what it meant to please God. And the law came with no help to bring righteousness. The law was implemented by the Aaronic priesthood as they acted out the Levitical sacrifices and the demands of a holy God, a righteous God. When the Pharisees got hold of the law, they added to it, they amplified it, adding over 600 additional laws and the precepts and the requirements to please God, and the laughter was lost, the smile left, the joy ceased as the law came from the Pharisees until that lean figure from Nazareth cast his shadow into synagogues and across the streets for 3.5 years of ministry. And John says, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a change. The smile came back. The delight, the joy of the Lord returned. People heard that they, of course, couldn't live up to those commandments, and now there was the Holy Spirit to give them power and strength. There would be a sacrifice paid for their sins. And before long, what looked like a tragedy became the triumph. They swept him into the judgment hall, and through a kangaroo court of 6 prejudiced trials, they nailed him to a tree and they hung him to die. They left him there until he finally screamed, "It is finished." Had you and I been one of the 11 remaining disciples, we would have thought we have believed in a hoax. We have, all of our dreams have been dashed. Peter's words are just eloquent. Let's go fishing. Let's get back to what we did before. But he came back. He rose from the dead. And he lives with scars that are continued reminders that grace and truth have come through him. Think of it. Jesus kept the law. He lived under the law. He fulfilled the law. And yet his payment for sin at Calvary, which was a once-for-all payment, broke the bonds of the law and brought us the freedom of grace. So the apostle doesn't say, "The law of the Lord God be with you." He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Let that hope be with your spirit. Why? Well, because our God lives. There has been glory, there has been greeting, there has been grace. But have you missed the pervading presence of the living God throughout this letter? Let's take just the last chapter. Will you go back with me momentarily? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. My beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. So we're to stand firm in God. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. We are to find our source of joy in the Lord our God. Verse 6, let your requests be made known to God. We just looked at that. We're to pray to our God. Verse 7, we're to take his peace, the God of peace, or the peace of God will surpass all explanations. Verse 9, the God of peace will be with us as well, the ninth verse concludes. Verse 13, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Verse 18, we give our gifts to him and they become an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. In fact, it is my God who supplies all your needs. And to God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Sounds so final. But let me take you a step beyond where no one else could take us, and that is where our God takes us. He is with you when you are in your prime of life. He is with you the day you get the bad news from your physician, when the x-ray comes back and it's negative. That sends you to a hospital. He goes with you there. He is with you in the bed as you await the surgery. He is with you through it. He sees you beyond it, and as you hear the news that they weren't able to get it all, and they tell you to write your will and to make sure your house is in order, he is there with you the day you pass into the presence of the living God. And he escorts you, as no one else can do, into the throne room of the King, which will be your abode as a child of God forever. It's called paradise. That's God. Imagine. He sees us beyond the grave. One of my favorite lines I love to give when I'm at a gravesite and I've just buried the dead. I love to look in the faces of people who've gathered, many of them normally not in church, but they knew the one who had died, so they're there out of respect. And I have the pleasure of announcing, you are standing on resurrection ground. You can see people move over a place or two so they don't get in the way of something that's getting ready to happen. The Lord God promises that as his Son was raised from the dead, he will raise us up as well. Our soul and spirit, absent from the body, is with the Lord at the moment of death, but when that day of resurrection comes, because he is God, he will raise our bodies up in a glorified state to be forever. In a transformed manner, with our souls and spirit forever with the Lord. What a reunion. Because there is a God. Can you imagine the hopelessness of a burial without Christ? Of course you can. What a grand letter has been this letter of the Philippians. No Christian's life is complete without a knowledge of it or an application of it. Imagine the apostle, gray-haired and shaking from years of suffering, perhaps with the hand that is chained to the soldier, reaching over to Epaphroditus to take the stylus and beginning to pen these last few words. To our God and Father, in glory, be glory forever. Greet every saint, especially those from Caesar's household, greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Signed, Paulus. As the Galatian letter says, he would write in great sprawling characters because of his eyesight that's failing. And he signs this one, Paul. I had an interesting serendipity take place in my life when I was concluding my study of Philippians. It came completely unexpected. I closed my New Testament and set aside my notes, and I thought I need just the clincher to put the final touch on this message. And I looked on my shelves and fumbled through them and found an old book by one of my favorite authors, F.B. Meyer. I took it off the shelf, and what ministered to me in that moment was not the words of Meyer, but the words of my mother. This was her volume, one of many that she left me in her legacy. And it gripped me. I looked at the very end of it, and I saw her handwriting. And you know how you'll do a flashback when you're reading the familiar handwriting of one who's gone on? And she wrote in there in her words, finished reading this May 9, 1958. And I thought, 1958. I thought back to my journal in May of 1958. I was a Marine on Okinawa, and it was that month that I turned the corner and had made a decision that my life would be spent in ministry. I would go back to school, and I would prepare for a life of ministry. I had no idea of my mother's prayers for me, some of which were recorded in this great book that I own now. And then I was fascinated, and I turned to the front of the book, and I again saw her words. And she said, and in the front of the book, she said, "Chart of Philippians mailed to me by Charles." That's me. By Charles, when he was in Waltham, Massachusetts. And I looked, I didn't remember that. I looked at the chart, I thought, man, that's not bad. And then I got back a hold of myself, and I thought of the years between 58 and 1966, when I'd sent her that chart. And I thought, how great of God. What wonderful chapters of my life represented by her dating system here. You never knew her. She passed in the Lord's presence. Interestingly, the very day in 1971 that I received a letter from this church to consider being a pastor, it was the day she died, which prompted me to write a quick no. I know it isn't God's will for me to be in Fullerton. One of those great prophetic moments in my life. I've had many of them. How interesting that it was that day I received John Watson's letter and became a turning point for me and for our family. And I thought, she never knew any of this that's happened since 71. Or does she? Maybe so. Some of you whose chapters have not ended well need to remember the book is still being written. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the threads of gold and scarlet in the pattern he has planned. You with a son or daughter moving in a direction that is different than you had wished or prayed, it isn't over. It's just a part of the book. I wouldn't have ever planned for my mother to have missed the best 20 years of my life. But that's God's plan. It's his right. He can take any of us when he's ready. I imagine she's just now about to finish setting heaven straight. She's been busy these two decades getting things in shape. But let me tell you something. It's good what God's doing. He isn't finished. And when it will all be done, and when in panorama it is all unrolled in front of us, in the presence of his glory, when we stand faultless we will see. It was good. It was right. Let's bow together. What a perfect conclusion for the letter to the Philippians if you could write with the date of today. Today, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. What a perfect doxology, what a perfect benediction. What a fitting conclusion. It's a simple matter. It's a matter of faith. You don't need to hear voices or dream dreams or see skywriting. That kind of phenomena may or may not occur, seldom does. But what you need is a simple and steadfast faith in the finished work of Christ, who paid it all for you, so that you might know and have all that he has prepared in glory. Today I encourage you to come and give your heart, your life to Christ. May we stand for the benediction, please. As a concluding act of worship, our God, we pledge our allegiance to you as we would to none other. Thank you for your plan, full of surprises, changes, unpredictable and unexpected events, tears as well as triumphs, pain as well as pleasure. We thank you for your good hand upon us. What you have taken as well as what you have given, these have been acts of grace. Thank you as we conclude the study of Philippians that this man, the apostle who has written these words, truly lives and has touched more lives, perhaps by his writings, than any other writer of the New Testament. But he too acknowledged your lordship over him, as we do. Unto him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, forever and ever. And everyone said, Amen.
Concluding his 14-part series on the book of Philippians, you're listening to Chuck Swindoll, and this is Insight for Living. The title Chuck gave to this classic series is Laugh Again, Experience Outrageous Joy. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Now, tomorrow, we'll move ahead to a brand new mini-series on the Great Commission of Jesus. It's called Mission Possible. Well, Chuck, during the month of June, we heard you describe a critical financial need at the ministry. If you would take a moment to bring us up to speed.
Well, that's right, Dave. Many of our friends have been asking for an update. You'll remember that throughout the month of June, I explained the urgency of responding before our deadline on June the 30th. Well, we've tallied the results, and giving to Insight for Living Ministries has fallen short of our anticipated goals. So, without belaboring the point, I'll only say that your donation today, no matter its size, is urgently needed. If you happen to miss the deadline, well, it's never too late. I look forward to hearing from you as soon as you send your most generous gift, wrapped in joy. Thanks so much.
And we can affirm that your gifts are truly making a difference. In recent days, we've been reading wonderful comments from your fellow listeners. For example, you'll be encouraged with this listener who wrote and said, Chuck, as a young couple, we were struggling terribly in our marriage. When we found Insight for Living on the radio in Boston and listened to Strike the Original Match, we know this was used of God to save our marriage from falling apart. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary. And we thank God and you, Chuck, for being there when we so needed the help. Isn't that great? And when you give to Insight for Living Ministries, you play a significant part in helping couples like this one and countless others who benefit from Chuck's teaching as well. So today, we boldly invite you to give generously as together we obey the Great Commission of Jesus. God will use your gift to touch a life. To become part of the team, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or visit us online at insight.org. Together, as a collective family, we can truly make a difference in those who've come to rely on Chuck's Bible teaching. Once again, if you're listening in the U.S., our phone number is 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org.
I will never forget the first time Cynthia and I drove around the bend and we saw the Holy City for the very first time. It literally took our breath away.
And now you can see Jerusalem for yourself with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
My first trip to Israel was much later in life than it should have been. I've never regretted that journey or any of those that followed. In fact, I wish it had all happened sooner.
Imagine hearing the Bible teaching you've come to respect on Insight for Living on location in Israel. Call 888-447-0444.
No pastor, no follower of Christ should ever pass up an opportunity to see and to touch and to fall in love with the very places where biblical history unfolded.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll begins a brand new series called Mission Possible. So be sure to join us Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Joyful, Grace-Filled Goodbye, was copyrighted in 1991, 1992, 1999, 2008, and 2019. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.